The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. It is such a privilege to welcome all of you to the program, but it is also a distinct privilege and honor to welcome again to the program Star Parker, who is the founder and president of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Star, it has been a long time, but I am just absolutely delighted to welcome you back to the program. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy that I'm back on, but I'm doing very well here in Washington, D.C. Ready for election season to begin, I suppose. We're doing what we can to help strengthen our country in a lot of different areas, so I'm excited.
So you couldn't stay in Compton?
No, I couldn't stay there. I'm not going to go back. I haven't even ever lived there. I just ran for office there thinking that maybe they didn't want to live in Venezuela. They do have options because it's not really Venezuela. But no, I think if I change things here in Washington, D.C., it'll change all over the country. Well, if you change laws, you change lives.
I'm sure you don't remember, but I did live in Compton, graduated from high school at Dominguez High School in Compton, although that's... That's been just a few years ago, Star.
It's still there, and what's interesting under this administration is there's so much more focus now on our distressed zip codes, what we call our intensive care areas, the little lost sheep. So we're going to, who knows, your area may be rescued, and you'll be able to say, "Wow, very proud of
us." Well, you know, a bizarre thing, Star. I was just reading the graduation rates for Compton, the high schools in Compton, and compared that with the graduation rates in Columbus, Ohio, where we are right now. And are you ready for this? The graduation percentage was higher in Compton, California, than Columbus, Ohio.
Well, now that is interesting data. We've always known that Ohio has its own unique problems, and it's one of the reasons that we need to get the government out of the charity business.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these challenges are local. They're community-driven. Their churches should be involved. This is not something we can assess from Washington for the very data you're pointing out. And the only way that you would even know that or be able to fix what's broken down is if local people in those quiet communities around it are working on it. But when they think Washington's doing it, nobody tries. So I am not surprised because Ohio has, you know, been on the radar back from when I was consulting on federal welfare reform in the 90s because of the five big pocket areas. Your state's one of the only in the union that has major interest in a variety of places. Even a state like California, as large as it is, the pockets aren't so defined as they are in Ohio. But that said, it means that you can fix it. That's the beauty of it. You could really get it fixed if we could focus a whole lot of attention there. And I've actually in and out of there all of the time, and we'll be going into this next election as well. Many, many places in Ohio need our attention. And because of this initiative, this Opportunity Zone initiative that the president signed into law and then did an executive order on, we have the tools to go into these most broken communities and fix them.
I want you to elaborate on that, but just let me add, Columbus has been the liberal left has had a stranglehold on Columbus for many, many years, and we're suffering the consequences. Elaborate on the initiative under this new administration and your involvement in it.
Well, as you just said, that you've had the left controlling your interests, meaning government has been controlling the interests of the people that needed freedom the most. And what this particular initiative does is it allows for that freedom to occur in these communities by first focusing on economic stability. So what this Opportunity Zone initiative is, it was championed mostly by Senator Tim Scott, and he's really working aggressively on it even to today. What it does is it allows for capital to flow into our most distressed zip codes. There are 8,700 of them in the country, and instead of trying to, you know, go after those that are healthy, kind of like the scripture says, you know, the healthy don't need the doctors, the sick.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is looking exactly at those most sick points. And what this particular Opportunity Zone initiative does is allows for capital to flow into those areas with the benefit of not having to pay a capital gain tax if that capital stays there 10 years or longer. So with that, it means that money will be in these communities to help fix them, to stabilize them, to create jobs in them so that then people can, you know, at least breathe a minute and then start fixing other things that are broken down, like family life, getting crime out of the way, fixing our educational system. If you don't have the tax base locally, it's hard to fix a whole lot of other areas that need that. If you don't have people with money in their pocket, it's hard for them to give to the local charities that are working on things like homelessness or, you know, pregnancy care. Et cetera, et cetera. So that's the first order of business, is to get some capital flowing into these communities. And that's been law about a year and a half now, oh, maybe 2 years, but the rules have just been written for about a year out of the Treasury Department. So you'll start seeing energy very rapidly here. And hopefully as the economy continues to flourish, that energy will follow along, and we'll start seeing some significant changes in these hard-hit communities.
I'm not expecting, and I'm certainly not asking for a pro-Trump speech from you, but we hear so often in the news media, Star, that this administration is antagonistic towards minorities, destroying minorities, racist to the core. What is the difference between this administration and the previous administration in their relationship with poverty and dealing with poverty? I know that's a broad general question, but I'd love to get your view on that.
Well, it's really easy. One tells the truth and one lies. And one that lied, that said that you can extend your problems to somebody else, that the problem with the country is that it was rooted in these evil Western ideas and colonialism, et cetera, et cetera. And so people believe those lies. The media promotes those lies. And so people become very dependent on big government. Dependence on big government broke down family life. And without a dad in the home, young boys have no one to help channel that energy that's bubbling up in them towards sports or school. So they take it to the streets. It's really simple. The one that's telling the truth is Donald Trump, who said, I want to fix this. He understands something's wrong. He knows that America has capacity to be very, very great, but he understands that that's a limited role of government. People have to do this work. They have to have the freedom to do this week, free people have to want to participate in their own lives. So that's the difference in how we approach poverty. One looks at it as the poor do not even have the capacity to help themselves. The other looks at it, this current administration, that no, they actually do. They have gifts, they have talent, they can do something. And so they encourage that growth within the person and the individual. So it's a difference between individual uniqueness and collectivism and big government.
Has this administration surprised you, or is this what you expected, anticipated?
Well, I suppose some of the surprises are that that the venom of the left would be so aggressive that they want to just make sure that he doesn't accomplish any of his goals. But no, I'm not surprised that from what I had learned about Donald Trump coming into the election, that he was someone that said if he said something, he was going to do it. And he told us that he was going to fix the inner cities. He told us he was going to do a lot of things. He told us that he was going to pick judges that believed in originalism and from a particular list. He told us what type of people he was going to put in terms of his administration. He told us that he was going to make America great again and that our interests would be first in the world, as opposed to what we've seen for the last almost 30, 40 years. He told us all these things. But I think the surprise for most people is that he's actually doing it, because most politicians lie a minute and tell people that they understand their problems, and if you elect me, I'll go try to fix them, and then they get to Washington and forgot the promises, and then people reelect them. well, this president said he was going to do it, and he's doing it, and he is aggressively doing it. And there are a lot of people that really don't want Washington changed. It's like one of my friends said, well, you know, many believe that Washington is broken and that they needed to come fix it. But one of my friends said, actually, it's not broken. Washington, D.C. is a well-oiled machine. It needs to be broken. Mm. And that's what's happening. This president is coming in here stirring things up to get things set in order so that he can do the four or five things he said he wanted to do. He wanted to make us strong again and safe again and proud again and great again and wealthy again. And so that's what he's working on. So, no, I'm not. I guess the only surprise is, wow, a politician really sticking to his word.
We're talking with Star Parker, the founder and president of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. We need to take a break. We'll come back with more Star Parker in just a moment. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
And it is again my privilege to welcome back to the program Star Parker, founder and president of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Star, the liberal left for so many years has had a stranglehold on the black community and has just about destroyed the family unit through the welfare programs and so forth. Is there an awakening within the black community?
Well, I think there has been a large percentage of African Americans who have always known something was wrong, because a third for the last 25 years have polled as evangelical and conservative. When you think about the social engineering of the left, it's destroyed that was potentially healthy in our community by paying people to have children outside of marriage. So there has been a devastating impact of welfare policy on the weaker part of the black community. But when you think about how their voting patterns are to continue to support the Democrats that have lied to them about what it really takes to be successful in the country, they had little options. So I'm not going to only and exclusively blame liberals. Conservatives have to get their messaging to them as well. Conservatives should run for office in these communities. When you think about why we have 55 members in the Congressional Black Caucus, well, one reason is because Republicans don't even bother to run people in those districts. I guess their hope is that they just don't vote. But black people are conditioned to vote. They're wired to vote. They're hardwired to vote based on history in our community. So you got to be there. You got to show up. It's one thing to complain if you have a bank that you hate. It's another for another banker to come in and say, hey, guess what I've got? Better services, better quality. So that's really part of the dilemma. But I do think that with the new administration and the leadership of the administration and the new folks running the RNC, we're going to see some significant changes in that area as well. Because this president is adamant to fix the country, and he understands what's broken down. He understands that there are 180 million Americans of European ethnicity, there are 140 million Americans of other ethnicity, and the left has targeted those others for 50 years, and so he wants to go in there and bust that up. So that party is in trouble because of this administration and his leadership. When it comes to minority politics.
Excellent point. I think your point is something that conservatives don't make enough. The war on poverty began back in the 60s, Lyndon Johnson. And here, fast forward to 2019, and poverty is worse today than when the war on poverty began. But are we beginning to make real progress on poverty in America under this administration?
Well, anytime the economy is healthy, people can leave poverty. And so, yes, I think that when you have jobs, you have an opportunity to start investing in your own life, thinking about your own life, and it's not a constant battle just to get up and survive. Once you have that, then yes, it's very easy to start thinking about other ways to break out of poverty. We see that in momentum when parental choice is available to parents. They say, I want that. so that I can get my child a decent education so they won't be poor. We see that when government moves over a little bit and doesn't control housing, people say, I want that. And so there's more mobility for them to say, I want a better neighborhood. I want safer streets. I want safer communities. So I just think that we're on the right track. What this president has put in place is at least a new awakening, if you will, an opportunity for us to say, what kind of America do we want for our children and grandchildren? And if it's an America where freedom and liveliness flourishes, then you'd want a limited role of government when it comes to taxation and deregulation. If you want a government that controls all of our interests from womb to tomb and including in the womb to decide and pay people to determine who lives and who dies, then you're in what the Democrats offered to us under that last administration and are offering us now with the new House. The more Americans understand what's really at stake, the more I think, especially Christian Americans, would want freedom and individual initiative, because God uniquely gave us gifts and talents that he really doesn't want us just to push off to a bureaucracy to make all of those choices for us.
In trying to become familiar with CURE under your direction, Star, one of the things that interested me the most is what you're doing with clergy, because I think that's a key, particularly in minority communities. Tell me about what CURE is doing in working with clergy, particularly in these distress zip codes that you referred to earlier.
Well, as I mentioned, the black community, a third, has continuously called for the last 25, 30 years that they're evangelical conservatives. So at CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, urbancure.org, for anyone who wants to find us, we determined that we should go find their pastors. If they believe this and they have no representation in Washington, then maybe they should have a voice. So we started looking for their pastors, believing that if we let them understand more deeply what is broken down in the country so they can help fix it, taking the Nehemiah model, where Nehemiah went to find the leaders of the people around the political establishment, then the people would fare better. So we have gone out to find these pastors. We know that there are 4,000 to 6,000 that haven't bowed to the Baals, as we call it, because when Elijah said, oh, my gosh, and God told, I have 7,000 that bowed to the Baal. So we know that there are 4,000 to 6,000. We just don't know where they are. So it's aggressive work and a focused work to just go and find them one by one. These are just the decent people in quiet communities serving the Lord, trying to do the best they can with whatever they have in their community. And so we have a program for them. We're probably up to almost 1,000 on our list right now. The program is a daily diet of blackcommunitynews.com. They get a weekly column and email. Well, the column is mine, and then they get an email information. Monthly, they get a book. Quarterly, they get a newsletter, so they know they're not alone. And then annually, we have a policy summit where they're invited to come here to Washington, D.C. That's where we can use help. Many of them don't have a full budget to be able to do that, so we're asking people if they could help at $250 a piece, the scholar or pastor, to come to the clergy summit. It's a three-day summit at the end of September. And we just overwhelmed them with information so that they could go back into the community encouraged that they are now equipped to make a difference. We want them empowered. We want them educated. We want them equipped to make a difference on a local level, because our ultimate mission here in Washington as CURE is to get the government out of the charity business. Yeah. We really believe charity belongs to the church. It does not belong to Washington, D.C.
Amen.
You render to Caesar what belongs to him and to God what belongs to him. Charity is unique and individual, so it belongs in local communities with local people. And so we want the pastors prepared for that day, that we will get the government to admit that they don't belong in this area, and we change the law so that we can really help people in their lives.
We've been visiting with Star Parker. I knew our time would go quickly. Visit urbancure.org. Urbancure.org. Star, it is always a privilege to have you on the program. We'll do it again soon. God bless you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.